Hi, my name's Jim Smith.
Hi, I'm George Pitts.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com. For more details on me and George, go to myspace.com/Jim and George.
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. WCRFM.
Don't see you nearly often enough. But last time we did see you, you made some wild and outspoken predictions about what you thought would happen in the Football League.
I did.
And we, George and I, feigned interest for a good 20 minutes.
I know, I could see you concentrating on it.
Your prediction, see, the thing is, you know, you give me these predictions. And you know, to anyone else, it would mean something, right? I don't know who won the Premiership. I've not got the first. You could say to me, I could say, okay, so Matthews, your prediction for the winner of the Premier League was Manchester United. And my only question is, how did they get on?
They won. They were the champions. Okay. That's one prediction correct.
Don't Manchester United win everything?
The Manchester United.
They win absolutely everything.
Manchesterfordshire United.
Isn't that a bit...
Manchesterfordshire. Say it properly, George. Say it properly, will you?
The
Manchesterfordshire United.
The
Manchesterfordshire Uniteds.
Got ya.
That's what they're called.
But they pretty much win everything. So isn't that like a bit of a rubbish prediction?
It was a safe bet, and that's what I went for. Didn't want to do anything too
outlandish. It's like, for instance, Girls Aloud releasing a new single, and me saying, "Oh, that's going to get." That's my prediction is that's going to get to number one. I know it's controversial. I know they might not do it, and they're the underdogs. But it's going to get to Manchester United.
I mean, my prediction is Girls Aloud will release a single and marry a footballer. Okay, FA Cup, you picked Chelsea. How did they get on? Did they win?
Yeah, Chelsea won 2-1 in the final.
Who did they beat?
Everton at Wembley recently.
The Everton.
The Evertonians.
the League Cup, Tottenham. How did they get on?
Tottenham got to the final but were beaten in a penalty shootout by Manchesterfordshire United.
The Manchesterfordshire Uniteds.
Sure.
The Community Shield, you also pricked the Manchesterfordshire Uniteds.
And they won that.
You've only picked Manchesterfordshire United and Chelsea.
But they won a lot of trophies.
Champions League, you picked Chelsea.
They got to the semi-finals.
And UEFA Cup, you picked Everton.
They were rubbish in that, and that was my worst prediction.
There is never a championship called the UEFA Super Cup.
It's when the winners of the Champions League meet the winners of the UEFA Cup, and they have a footballing match.
Child.
A footballing match?
Yeah. Big bag of wind and they kick it from one end to the other.
Hey, I've just got... Are Everton...
And what happens when the winner of those two competitions meet? Is that the UEFA Super Duper Cup?
Yes.
Sorry, George, go on.
Are Everton Scousers? Are they Liverpoolians?
Yes.
I thought so.
Do you know?
I just wanted to clear that up.
I'll tell you the one thing I know about football, right? Because a really proper good pal of mine, hi Ken, if you're listening in Milan, right? A really good friend of mine is the biggest Everton fan you've ever met in all your life. Always talks about Everton, tattoo on his forearm and everything. Loves the Everton. And he told me, and it's true because I've looked it up, that there is a girl who runs around, I mean a child, a little girl, who runs around before the games at Everton and throws sweeties into the crowd.
Toffees.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. Toffees. But she carries an umbrella.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true. It is true. It's not something like, you know, this is the one thing I know about football, right, is that. She throws a toffee. If you say it's toffee, yeah, because they call them the toffees, don't you? That's the other thing I know.
Woo!
God, they call them the toppies, right? And she carries an umbrella.
Hmm.
Why does she carry an umbrella?
Do people spit on her?
Because people spit on her.
And how old's this girl?
A child.
They spit at a child.
A child.
That's disgusting.
How could you ever lie? I mean, look, I've said some wacky things on the radio, and in private I've said some... I've offended pretty much everybody in the world. But how could you ever ally yourself as a club? Oh, yeah, I'm in the club that spits on children, so much so they have to carry an umbrella. I'm in the little girl gobbing in the face of club. That's my club. That's what I do on a Saturday morning. I like to go down, meet my pals, have a few drinks and spit on a junior school child.
How did this tradition start?
Why does she still carry on her job?
And who was the first person?
Let's spit on her. Who went
and spat at a child, and everyone thought, oh, well, that's what you do around here then. Well, you know, I'm not really used to this. Come on in.
How could you see that happen? Yeah. Right, now, bear in mind, this is not two people. Yeah. This is en masse. This is a community of people at Goodson Park. There you go. That's the third thing I know about football, Goodson Park. Right? How could you... Somebody must have been the first one to go, I'm going to spit on the little girl. And spit on the little girl. How was there nobody there to go, that's really wrong, what you just did.
Whoa.
That's dreadful. I don't care how big he was. How did nobody go, that is completely beyond the pale. How has this club kept going? The spitting on the little girl club.
It is beyond belief.
And this is the home supporters.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard of this before. It's such an outrage, but I've never come across it before. I've never even heard of that.
Well, you've never heard about him spitting on the little girl?
No.
That's why she carries an umbrella. The little girl who throws toffees into the crowd at Goodison Park before every game, she carries an umbrella because people spit on her. And my friend Kenny will be over the moon. I won't give his surname next, I won't get him into trouble. But my friend Kenny, who is an authority on Everton Football Club, will be over the moon that he told me that set of facts and that I reached that set of conclusions. UEFA Super Cup, the Manchester Uniteds.
They lost to Russian club Zenit St. Petersburg. They played like a couple of donkeys.
The championship, you predicted Birmingham.
And they came second to Wolverhampton Wanderers. So I was pretty close in all this.
So here you are, a local lad, born and bred and all of that, the notorious Penford G, the WCR sports monkey, and you picked Wolverhampton for nothing.
Why do you think that the northern teams do so well compared to, say, Midland teams? I mean, come on. I mean, Birmingham City and Wolverhampton, they do tend to be a bit rubbishy, don't they? West Brom's another one.
They went down.
They're not the best. You know.
You can't possibly be asking me. I don't know.
What is it about northern...
Only Sacco can answer
what
that.
Is it about northern teams, like Leeds and Manchester United and various others that I can't... Like Liverpool, for example. Why do they tend to do so well? Yeah. Why have they got the best players?
Well, Leeds were
right,
very
that's
good.
Four things on how about football. Leeds are rubbish. How come they can't all be as good as Accrington, Stanley and Barnsley?
I don't know. I just think United and Liverpool have got all the money to send all their
Newcastle,
scouts out.
Newcastle, now there's another good team.
talking about money. Here, this is something I wanted to talk about. Because, again, I don't know about football, but like you trip across this stuff. And do you know what? In fairness, you're not allowed to have a drink anywhere unless you understand some football, because everybody talks about it all the time. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
£80 million. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Right. Jesus Christ.
Fat Jesus.
Fat Jesus. Jesus Christ. 30 pieces of gold, I understand.
Yeah.
That's what they saw. That's what Judas took for Jesus Christ. 30 pieces of gold.
Yeah,
although,
but
I've always thought that Judas must have been quite disappointed when they gave him his 30 pieces of gold in a bag. Because, you know, what is a piece? And I think if I was Judas, I'd have said, you know, I did give you a king of the Jews, but can't I have 30 pieces of gold the size of a Cadillac?
But my argument there is, when Jesus makes his big comeback, he's going to be a much bigger celebrity second time round, or the third time round. Well, yeah, because there was the whole resurrection. And then he kind of, where did he go after the resurrection? You know, after the crucified him and he raised from the dead a couple of days later, where did he go after that?
I don't know.
Did he try and make some vain kind of rubbishy comeback?
The point I was trying to make is anybody, I know with Satanta going broke and everything, is anybody yet prepared to admit that the whole footballers' prices thing has got absolutely ridiculous, especially in the light of they're only offering $20 million for Osama bin Laden, currently. And, like, Cristiano Ronaldo is 80 million. Million, like nearly $200 million.
No, no, that
you can't tell me.
Those wages are justified.
I know very little about football or international terrorism, but you can't tell me that Cristiano Ronaldo is worth 10 Osama bin Ladens. It's just not practical.
Yeah, but you're comparing entertainment to politics.
And what you got?
I mean, the thing is, say for instance, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt gets paid $25 million per film. A film takes roughly, say, between 3 and 6 months to complete. If you look at footballers, they are paid entertainers. So if you look at it from that scale, and plus there's a lot of risk of injury and all that. I mean, one bad tackle, that's it. He's finished. His career's over. So the wages kind of justify it. And he's not going to turn it down, is he? He's not going to say, well, I'm getting paid too much here. When's the last time you ever saw a Hollywood actor turn around and go, oh, my wages are ridiculous? It's true, though.
That's the point. What you've got to factor in is that £8 million that Real Madrid have spent on Cristina Ronaldina is that they're going to reap it all back with shirt sales. I mean, when Beckham
merchandise.
Went...
Merchandise.
How many shirts can they possibly sell?
They estimate that if you had the same kind of effect as Beck's, it's going to bring in, I think, 3 million shirt sales, and they're £40 a shirt. That's $120 million he's going to bring in over the year in just merchandise.
Yeah, but somebody's got to sell that shirt. Somebody's got to make it. Oh, I know these things are made in sweatshops and all that. But, you know, there is no way they can justify the money. No way. It's absolutely obscene.
It is. It's a mad amount of money.
Is Beckham still playing? Because he was...
Isn't he playing in America?
And he's kind of at two clubs. He's at Milan in Italy and with... LA Galaxy in America at the same time, trying to work out some kind of deal. I mean, he was on $125 million over 5 years, an absurd amount. But they all get their money back in merchandising and prize money. Ronaldo will win them competitions, he'll get them money, more brand recognition and more shirt sales. It's kind of on a cycle, really, but even so, $80 million is a lot for two legs.
Do you know what often occurs to me? Because ultimately, you paid £80 million. And again, I know I keep stressing it. I know nothing. I'm such an idiot. I shouldn't be giving any opinion on this because I know nothing at all about it. I completely don't understand it. But do you know what? £80 million. He steps off a curb wrong, puts his ankle over tomorrow morning. That's it. It's over. Mm. It's all over. Just can't do it anymore.
That's a good point. But
You wouldn't want to be an insurance underwriter for Cristiano Ronaldo in a nightclub tonight at £80 million pay-up if he should fall down.
Hmm. It'd be expensive.
Is he good enough for that, though? I mean, does he warrant the money? You do understand football. Well, does he warrant the money?
If you look at him last season, not the season just gone, the season before that, he scored 42 goals, and that was from midfield. I mean, no striker scored that year. No striker scored over 40 goals in decades, and yet he scores them from midfield, and he creates them. He's such a spectacle. He gets crowds out of the seats. He brings in the tickets. And on his day, he's the best in the world. And he will entertain the fans and bring in money for that club. But on a bad day, he's useless.
Who's his employer again?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid. Now,
he's still under contract with United, but he's off.
The Real Madrid.
Yeah. The railway. The
British
railway.
Rail Madrid.
The railway engine Madrid.
The railway children Madrid. Yeah.
The railway children Madrid. Anyway, look, if you was railway children Madrid, for your $80 million, you'd expect, you know, Ronaldinho.
Can he juggle?
You'd expect Ronaldinho to go about in a mobility scooter. To avoid any accident, because you wouldn't want him dancing, and you're like, it's all right, we understand that you're going to go out tonight, Mr. Ronaldinho, and we understand you're going to go out tonight and have a drink and, you know, get amongst it on the dance floor, but can you please do it seated in your mobility scooter, because we've got a huge investment in you, and we don't want it going pear-shaped. 101.8
WCR FM. Anything else to add on Ronaldinho?
You know,
he
what?
Crashed his Ferrari. What a twonk.
What a twonk.
He wrote off his Ferrari.
But you know, he's allowed to because he's a footballer. Footballers are pretty much rock and roll stars, aren't they? Really?
They are.
Every other footballer is cheating on his wife or being pictured in a nightclub with £1,000 bottles of champagne and crashing things and assaulting people now. That seems to be the new one. They really seem to be into giving people a kick in. Was it Gerrard who
Gerrard was arrested. Yeah. Jermaine Defoe was arrested, I think. Yeah, there's... It's the new
The one that really made me sick was when they had those footballers, I don't know from what team they were, but on CCTV, and they had them going through the waitress's purse. What team was that? And they caught them rifling through some girl's purse.
I'm not sure.
You're looking at me like I don't know. I've not got a clue.
Who was it? What team was it?
I think it would be wonderful if you was on, like, you know, if you say you was in, you know, Winston Green or something, and, you know, the bit of an inter-wing football tournament, and you've got Steven Gerrard running out for you. You know, so they go, nobody knife me. I do this for a living. I don't want to get shanked. I've got a future doing this. I must do this story about last Saturday, because as I was saying earlier, George and I work together in the real world, and I
is this the Las Vegas story,
the Las Vegas showroom story? And I swear to you, every word is true, right? We go out, some friends of ours get, you know, involved, you know, everybody knows somebody who's really good with the internet and gets cheap flights everywhere and gets cheap, and you know, it never seems to work out for you.
I hate that.
People will say to you, I just have flights to Madrid, I paid 60 pence of all the tax. Every time I want to go to Madrid, it's a grand, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It never works out. Well, we know a couple, right? And they're really good at getting them sort of late deal flights. You know, you can always tell you what's on in supermarkets, tickets for different events. Anyway, there's a casino in Birmingham, in Star City. There's a casino, and as part of that casino, they've got a showroom. It's called the Vegas Showroom. And they put on really quite lavish shows. And the whole point of that is they show you the show. And we know the drill, right? Same as Vegas. They show you a show, you have a few drinks, a meal. You know, it's all subsidised by the casino in the hope that when you're finished, you go upstairs, you play some craps or blackjack, and you lose some money.
Yeah.
And that's how it's ordered. But if you don't gamble, these tickets are really quite cheap. I think, like, for 20 quid, you see a show, and there's a guy on, a soul singer, who was absolutely outstanding, really good singer, and, you know, a meal and a few drinks. I think it's like 20 quid a head. It's really, really good value. So they said, do you want to go? I said, yeah, you know. So last Saturday, I bugged out of work early, went home, got changed, and we're down at the Vegas showroom, right? And it was just like, it was like, And I've said it so many times, why can't the world be more like this? You know that bit at the start of Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Where Henry walks in and, you know, everybody sat at tables politely having a drink.
That's all waving.
And watching a show. And you think, you know, why can't the world be like that?
And they're all wearing beautiful suits.
Yeah, everybody's dressed up.
Did you wear a suit?
I did, yeah.
Cool.
Everybody's dressed immaculately. And you think, oh, I wish the world could be more like that. And you go and see a show rather than just going to a pub and playing the quiz machine, drinking lager and having a row. You know what I mean? You know, you could all be more sophisticated. And it was just like that. And I was sat right by the stage, right? Me and the page, very lovely, and the couple went out with a tremendous fun and tremendous company and all the rest of it. So this guy comes out and he sings a few songs and he's great. He's absolutely, I can't remember his name. Sean Beach something. Can't remember. Anyway. Really good. Really good soul singer. Just doing stuff off the karaoke. But it was all really good quality and the food was great and everything. And of course, I've been there for an hour, so I'm now drunk. I've had too much to drink and I'm...
It must take a lot for you to get drunk. You're a big lad.
No, don't you.
Shocking drink. I do all that business walking around with a bottle of Lambrusco in my hand.
Six foot four, Birmingham-ness.
If you want to find out what a near-death experience is like... Go for a good drink with Jim.
Go on me.
I was going to say something.
Go on the razzle.
Yeah, go on the razzle with
well
Jim.
Done.
Yeah. Go on the razzle with Jim, because that is what a near-death experience is. Oh, I tell you what, I've been absolutely steaming. You know, Larry telling me mine. Actually, the very first podcast we ever did.
The cinema experience with Weatherspoons and the vouchers.
Yeah, you remember, Matt?
Running into the boxes.
Yeah, that was it. I was running up and down the street like a crazed maniac. I still, to this day, can't remember.
People thought Jim was your carer.
Yeah. Well, people think that most of the time anyway. It's just the way I come across.
So many times I've had George, Jim, please, can we stop now? No! We're going somewhere else. So, no, listen, we're at this, and I am as close to the performer as I am to you now. I am 6 feet away, right? I'm right by the stage. Now, the last time we was there, it was an Elvis tribute act. And I love Elvis. And the couple with the lady, I'm not allowed to name the people. I've been told not to name them.
Name them.
No, I'm not allowed to, right, because I've been told not to.
Just give them silly fake names.
Okay, so let's say Barbara. It's not a name.
Barbara and Bob.
She enjoys a drink also, and she enjoys Elvis as much as I do. And we were stood right by the stage, right? And Elvis King, really buying into it, you know. And Elvis did American trilogy, right? Which, and it was just too much for me. Yeah. Now, this is previous time I'm talking about, not this time exactly, this is the previous time. And it was too much for me. And me and Barbara, we stormed the stage. And we had our arms around Elvis doing American Trilogy. I was born in the land of cotton. Look away, look away. God, son, sing it up. Hey, darling. Bottle of white wine in me. Yeah, me darling. Yes. Shake, chill out. Oh, glory, glory. Really giving it loads. So anyway. This Saturday, that was like last year we went to this thing. So this year, so he's playing some songs, he's going through, just picking his favourite songs off his mini disc, and hits play and plays the first four bars of Lionel Richie classic, Easy Like a Sunday Morning. And now, bear in mind, I've had a drink at this stage, right? And you know, I'm loud and obnoxious when I'm sober. Shocking when I've had a drink. Dreadful. And I've seen video of me drunk, and the realisation of the animal that I am when I've had a drink is just awful, right? And plays the first four bars. Dum, 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 dum. Turns off, because I'm going to do that one. Without so much to thought, without so much to buy your leave, I'm to my feet. Sing it! Right? Because it's one of my favourites. Right? Up on my feet. So, like, and for those who don't know me personally, I'm a right big lump. And I'm up in my suit with my sleeves rolled up, pointing at the stage in front of maybe 200 or 300 innocent and slightly offended and afraid norms, right, going, sing it, right? And this fella, to his credit, went, you want to hear that one? I went, yeah, sing it. And he went, why don't you? I'll have had a drink.
Yeah, you're going to get
And he points the microphone at me.
Yeah.
I'll have had a drink. It wasn't fair. I was manipulated. I was left unattended. I'd had a drink.
You asked for it. Come on, you've asked for it.
And he said, sing it. Next thing I know, I'm stood on the stage, swaying from side to side to the opening few bars of Easy Like Sunday Morning. I looked down at the page very lovely. It was now head in hands, but, you know, true to form, she was still there. She stood on, you know, she stood up. I think, the big fella can carry a tune a bit.
Can I have a video of this?
But, well, there are some photographs.
Ooh,
there were some photographs that were taken. And I did. And I sung the first, before I ran out and didn't know the words, and sang the first, I mean, but Larry. Dead, Betty, Bennett, just get still in a brain. Can I believe yeah.
Why do all pub talkers, pub singers have got that same kind of sound about them? You gotta roll with it. What's all that about?
At the end of everything. You gotta roll with it. And I'm mad. Hey, what you hurry? Lady hooty, hardy, hooty, hey, hey.
Hello, just in case you hadn't noticed, it's The Fish here. I've just popped in to invite you to listen to my show every Sunday between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Fish's Sunday Service. You can find out which famous people are celebrating their birthdays, A Question of Wolverhampton, 3 for 1 Artist, The Wolves Report, and The Midday Discussion, and much more. Tune in to 101.8 WCR-FM, or you can listen online, www.wcrfm.com, or even email me thefish@wcrfm.com. Fishy Sunday Service, Sundays 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. on 101.8 WCR-FM.
Unmistakably jazz, and there's a lot more of that on Milestones and All That Jazz with Mike Hardacre. Every Monday, 9 o'clock through to 11, here on WCRFM 101.8, the voice of Wolverhampton.
Do you know the odd thing is Mike Hardacre does talk just like that all
the
time?
The voice of Wolverhampton.
It's like Stretch.
Did you laugh at that?
Yeah. Mike, how you doing? Listen, I'm going out for coffee, Mike. Jonathan, oh, I'll have a cup of coffee. Don't get too mad. Let's not go on about it. Should we sing?
Do you know what he does in real life? He's an English teacher. I swear to God, wouldn't they be the coolest English teacher?
You know, he does in real life. And I think, oh, I'm going to be up all night trying to edit this out. Whatever he says, I'll never be able to let it go.
No, but just picture the scene. Right, kids, that's A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I think what Golding were trying to tell us in the opening paragraph of Lord of Flies was... WCRFM. I'm Jim Smith.
I'm Matt Sacco.
Rubbish, you're another go.
Start again.
It's his first go. Let's try again. You ready?
Sing it like you mean it.
You gotta throw yourself into it here. As if all of a sudden you're on stage at the Vegas show bar
and
with one over the 18 with an empty glass in one hand and a microphone in the other, thinking, Jesus, that was a mistake. Why is it always me? Ready? Okay, we'll have another go. Okay, here we go. With Jim Smith
and Matt Sacco
and Georgie Pitt,
and you're listening to Beautiful. Oh yeah, Beautiful. Matthew, give us something from your side of the desk.
What have you got?
Well, I've got a few things here that I brought with me, but this one particularly took my fancy. A woman cancels her wedding after finding fiancé was a porn star.
Matt, I told you not to do anything, you know, anything that can incriminate me in any way. What have you brought that in for?
Well, a woman cancelled her church wedding and country house reception after discovering her fiancé was on the wrong side of the track, shall we say. Hayley Hocking, 27, only found out that strapping 30-year-old fitness fanatic Jason Brake made adult films just weeks before the big day. A friend organising her hen night searched online for a male stripper and spotted Jason with a woman in a porn movie. Now, they had to cancel the whole thing for this, and she says, I don't know if I'll ever be able to trust a man.
Is that grounds for divorce? Is ultimately a job. They work in the adult film industry. You know, they are ultimately an actor. Is that grounds for not marrying somebody?
He's concealed it from her, though, hasn't he? So he's clearly lied. It's not like he's met her and they're talking, oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm such and such. I'm a receptionist. What do you do? Well, I'm an adult film star. You know, he hasn't told her, and she found out just before the wedding. So quite a shocking revelation,
isn't it? It's a bit of a difference from being a personal fitness trainer and being an adult film star. You know, it's... not as if he was, you know, subtle about it. He just lied.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be the beginning of many more lies.
But does that mean, you know, you've told one lie, you can't stop, you're just going to tell lots and lots and lots of lies?
It's a bit of a whopper.
What's the last lie you told Matt Sacco?
Last lie I told was... I can't remember. I can't remember. That's why I told.
Come on.
Ooh, must have been something today. I can't remember what.
Have you ever tried to get through a day without saying a lie?
Probably not.
It is far harder. I've tried to do it for me own sort of karmic costings, and it's far harder than you could ever possibly imagine.
I think we lie without even realising it these days.
Of course you do.
I mean, because nobody can 100% just tell the truth all the time, can they?
You've got to blag, you know. You just go, oh, yeah, I've done that, and you really haven't. It's just doing something just to get yourself out of that situation. I mean, like in the common room, and the teachers come in, have you done that work? Oh, yeah, we've done it. Second they go away. What on earth are they on about? What work was this, you know? That's how all of us sixth formers have got through our exams, by blagging and then catching up after they've got on our backs to do it, you know?
I used to go to school with a kid who was a world-class liar, and he hated games. I mean, is that what they call it now, games or physical education? PE?
PE,
yeah. He hated PE with a passion. I always loved it, Odd. It was my favourite thing.
But anyway, I always thought it was like a lesson off games.
It was just ace, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, even when you looked at your timetable, and there it was in the middle of a Wednesday, games.
I swear to...
You might as well have just said, like, you know...
Bunk.
Sleep. Do you know what I mean? Like, games. How have they factored that into a curriculum? I don't know. Games. Like, you know, Thursday at 2 o'clock, I don't know, sweeping up. Just fill your time, folks. Jesus, we're not here to educate you.
Well,
just...
no, like, PE, I mean, I've done A-level in it, so I've got all... It's a lot of buff. It's,
how
it's...
can you do A-level PE?
Because there's lots of different factors. You've got the sports psychology, exercise physiology, looking at bones and...
Sports psychology?
It's like how people... win and then their mentality and what they're suited to, like
team
game.
Well, they try really, really hard and they win.
I thought that was the whole idea of it.
That's the point. That's how that's the psychology behind sports. I'd like to win. I'll try really, really hard and then win.
It's just different personalities. Then you've got like historical studies. You go back to the 1700s. You've got public schools and stuff.
What?
And then the development of sport through the ages.
We used to play swing ball at my school. What kind of school do you go to?
This is all A-level nonce. It's just stuff that you've got to do. It's about, PE is about educating the person as a whole. So, you know, you learn to share social and moral intrinsic values.
It's the medical correctness command.
Did you just tell me that PE was more of a holistic approach to education?
I thought Katie Jones.
Yeah,
here,
oh, my God, I set that up. That's so unfair because I set
that up.
Properly give it you then.
What is holistic anyway? I thought it was some sort of vocal.
Do you know, we did an interview with Katie Jo once for ages and she said loads of times. And he went, he must have said four times. So what's holistic then? And she's explaining to him and you go, yeah, but what does it mean? And so she'd go off again, like another 8 minutes explanation, the word holistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't understand. What does holistic mean? And just honestly, we went round and round and round and round. Poor old coach is getting quite frustrated. George, give us something from over there.
No, before we carry on...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was getting into the whole thing about PE. My mate being a world-class liar.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He was one of these geeky kids who hated PE. And back then, I'm talking like... It'd be like 17, 18 years ago. I'm going back. Our PE teacher was a brutal, nasty sadist. I mean, he really enjoyed really bullying us. And my mate, I remember his name. Should I say his name?
No.
He was vicious.
He was
a vicious piece of work. Oh, he really was. So anyway, my mate Eric, to get out of PE, he always used to put on... He was a world-class lawyer. I mean, he could have forged a career in acting. He was that good. He was that method. For the day... So we'd have PE every Wednesday. He'd limp for the day. And he was so good at it as well. Or he'd sprained his arm and he'd be whimpering in pain and all the rest of it. And he got out of it near enough every week. Fair
every
play to the kid.
Every week for PE, that'd do, wouldn't it? I used to like it.
But you know, Matt, how many times a week do they have PE now? Is it once or twice?
Well, A-level, I've got 6 lessons a week, 3 double lessons a week.
No, I mean, for the standard curriculum, it used to be just once a week for us, PE.
A double lesson every week or 2 double
lessons? In A-level PE, if you forget your kit, do you have to wear pink kit?
No, they make you go and get the kit out of this smelly old bucket and it all smells.
Smelly old bucket?
And it's horrendous not to wear some blue shorts that were too big for me and had some dodgy stains.
You know,
and, you know, you just didn't want to wear them, but you got to.
I mean, do you know what they made us do? Which I think would be not allowed now. But if you forgot your PE kit, you'd have to do it in your pants. That's what they used to make you do. Or your boxer shorts, i.e. what I would wear. And I saw kids wearing some nasty-looking pants.
That's the way to impress the ladies.
Nah, it was segregated back then.
Do you know
then.
What I used to hate? Because I've always been a bit of a chunky monkey. Do you know what I always used to... And you two, you're both in good shape. You're both really slim kids. So you won't appreciate it. But you know when they used to be picking sides for stuff? And I'd get picked for stuff because I was good at everything. You know, because I was very physical.
You'd be good at basketball.
Good at
so
basketball.
Tall.
Good at... I'm useless at football, but I'm so
big.
Rugby I was really good at. But I'm so thunderous. You know, even at football, I'm so intimidating at full sprint. They're like, you know, I'm good on a side. I'm good person to have on your side. So I get picked for stuff, and they go, okay, well, he goes on that side, they go on that side, they go on that side, that one goes on that side. They divide them into two, and you think, I know we're going to be skins. There'd be shirts versus skins, and every time I know I'm going to be skins. I don't think I was ever shirts. I think my whole school career, I don't think ever, and it should be a 50-50 toss, shouldn't it? But I think our game just didn't like me. And I was always skins. I hated that. George, give us something from over there.
Right, what have I got here? Oh, we've got this from the Yahoo News. Musicians attacked at wedding. Jalalabad, Afghanistan, Taliban fighters...
Is that not your favourite place, though, well, Jalalabad?
That's what it says here, Jalalabad.
That's the thing, it's like Mississippi, you don't know when to stop, do you? Jalalabad! Jalalabad! Everybody's favourite place, though. Jalalabad!
I do believe I got my pronunciations right with the pronunciations team. I've pre-read the story, just to get things just...
Well, Vincent's right gym with his Chinese pronunciations.
Hey, I'll check my pronunciations.
They're bang on,
Chinese.
They are.
They're bang on.
They're bang on, they are. We've had them checked out.
Yeah, very careful with Chinese pronunciations. We're doing news stories.
Right then. Jalalabad, Afghanistan, Taliban fighters.
Just throw in another lala. just do another lala lala.
All right. Just start all over again.
Yeah, but just mix in a few extra lala. No one's going to mind, George. Just throw an extra lala in.
Right, and Yahoo News. Musicians attacked at wedding. Jalalalabad. Jalalalalalala, did you like that, bad? Jalalalalalala, did you like that? I'm bad. Come on. Jalalabad, Afghanistan. Taliban fighters beat musicians, shaved their heads, and left them tied to trees overnight because they performed at an Afghan wedding. A village tribal chief said Monday, a sign of the fighters' growing influence. While in power from 1996 to 2001, the Taliban banned music.
Taliban banned everything.
That's why they call them the Taliban.
Yeah.
They pretty much go around banning everything.
They banned everything,
well,
the Taliban.
You know, I mean, they are a firm that, you know, get off, I'm pretty much banning everything.
They didn't get bored of making rules, the old Talibally Ali band.
Do you think the Taliban have somehow, like, kind of manoeuvred themselves into the Health and Safety Board in England?
Yeah.
The Department of Health and constant interfering.
Yeah. Just pretty much, what can we ban next? Ladders, you can't climb ladders, ban them. Staircases in libraries, ban them.
Well, it must be very hard when you're in the Taliban and, you know, you say you're hardcore Taliban, which these clearly were, and I think you've always got to respect anybody who's hardcore in their belief and sticks to their belief long after the argument's lost. I quite like that. And, you know, even now that they've got absolutely no authority and no prisons to put anyone, that they will still arrest musicians and go, right, we've nicked them, now what? Shave their heads!
Beat them with sticks and tie them to a tree.
Or...
Sounds like your average night out.
Or, perhaps not. Mm. Oh! I've just figured it out.
What's that?
It was nothing to do with that. Mm. The Taliban weren't objecting to music being played. It was the type of music being played. That's why they shaved their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just big fans of Right Said Fred. They just wanted to hear the seminal early 90s classic, Deeply Dippy. And, sorry, George, there's a gob all over you. They just wanted to hear the seminal classic, Deeply Dippy. And they thought, well, I wonder if we, you know, shave their heads and put them in, like, a ruffle-fronted shirt and tie them to a tree, perhaps sooner or later they'll learn it.
Well, you never know, you never know. It says here, the militants have returned to areas in the east and south of the country where violence has sharply spiked in recent years. They attack government officials, Afghan police, foreign troops and schools that teach girls, another practice they forbid. A party was going on when a group of Taliban grabbed five musicians and started beating them and smashing their musical instruments. Maybe they're just punks. Maybe they're just punks that are into smashing musical instruments.
Perhaps they would, yeah.
Maybe they're big fans of the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, or the Tams or something.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, the Taliban grabbed five musicians, started beating them and smashing their musical instruments, said Ram Mutallah Khan, ahead of Murki Kal village in east of the country. The musicians were tied up with rope to trees last night and villagers found them in the morning when going out for prayers, Khan said. Khan said Taliban fighters shaved the heads of musicians and made them take oaths in the presence of villagers. They would not sing or play music at weddings ever again. Afghan weddings and engagement parties in rural areas are traditionally celebrated with hundreds of guests, music and singing that often continues until late at night. Now, how can you go about banning one of the most beautiful things in the world, which is music? I mean, it makes no sense. In what way can music corrupt someone?
Because it's a sign of Western decadence, George.
They wasn't playing rock and roll. They're just playing traditional...
Yeah, it starts with your traditional music. That's just the beginning.
And in the end, they listen to NWA and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with NWA and Guns N' Roses.
Next thing you know, it's goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'd ban a lot of music. There's a lot of music I'd ban.
What would you ban?
You put me on the spot now.
I'd ban Speed Garage.
Yeah, all that sort of... Yeah, anything that wasn't played.
All the computer-generated
Anything that was played out of the computer.
Well,
yeah.
a couple of my pals, you know, Mitch and Luke, they are Speed Garage DJs, and they play a lot of venues in Birmingham.
Yeah, they
play the good clubs, but they're not into it themselves.
No.
And they can't fathom out how people will pay £10 on the door and £3 a drink to go in and listen to, which is pretty much womp, 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 for like 10 hours straight.
I've seen Mitchell laughing about the music he played, and then we'll say, "I can't believe people didn't walk off." And you know, it's that bad. And like you say, like that, I don't even know what that noise is called. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Baseline. That's what's played at all of our sixth form socials without fail, and like majority of us don't like it. It's like, can we just have some proper normal music, please?
You put the Stones on or something, right? I'll tell you what I've got for my next story.
What have you got,
ladies and gentlemen?
Buckaroo.
Hillbilly News.
Woo-hoo!
Shem Ali's troopers on a long chase.
Yeah-haw!
A semi-driving hell stop. I'm making no damn sense.
Well, goddamn, Billy Joe's in my way. Just trying to read the story, not like some kind of idiot.
A semi-driver led Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers on a pursuit that lasted an hour and a half and covered nearly 100 miles. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
It began around 9 p.m. on the Ohio Turnpike after a woman told troopers her husband had assaulted her. It started at the 77-mile post and continued at the average speed of 60 to 62 miles an hour, clear up until the end of exit 173.
Yeah!
Which is Interstate 77, said State Patrol Sergeant Darren Thomas. The driver then blew through the toll booth and headed south on 177 for a couple of miles. Thomas said the truck came to an abrupt stop in a construction zone where the driver fled on foot. Yeah! He was captured after a short search of nearby wooded area. He's been charged with felony feeling.
Yeah!
With felony fleeing. More chances are possible. Troopers made several attempts to use road smacks to stop the truck. The final attempt was a success, but due to the fact that the commercial vehicle, the smacks were found to be ineffective, Thomas said. The chase covered a total distance of 98 miles, according to Thomas. The female passenger was treated for facial injuries, but two children in the truck were not injured. Thomas says the couple were on the phone with dispatchers during the entire pursuit.
What?
Yeah!
Well, goddamn, Jimbo, but if I'm not sure they chased that boy, he took those troopers on a ghost chase.
But goddamn it, Billy, no George, Bob, that whole story isn't in fact a plot line to Smoking the Bandit 2.
Yeah! How smoke?
But in real life, it was only missing Big and Little Enos.
Yeah!
How Smoking the Bandit, that's a classic, that's a goddamn classic. Yeah! Go, Jimbo!
Okay, well, 1.8 WCRFM, the voice of Wolverhampton, Jim and George's Technical Radio Clubhouse, are sitting with us, our pal, the friend of the show, Matt Sacco. It's an absolute pleasure.
Matt Sacco
has come down
to
see us. Absolute delight. Delighted to have him.
Delighted to be here.
Real thrill. Matt, give us something from your side of the desk.
Well, Sleepwalker puts on 9 stone with nightly snacks. Sleepwalker Anna Ryan put on 9 stone by eating without realising during nightly trips to the fridge. The 42-year-old suffers from a condition which makes her gorge herself while asleep with catastrophic effects on
would
her size and health.
Would that be sleep snacknia?
We've got a picture of her here. I mean, every time she turns around, it's her birthday.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl with a big heart and a lot of love to give.
Despite following a low-fat diet and exercising regularly, her weight has fluctuated wildly since her early 20s. She keeps clothes in four different sizes and can put on as much as a stone a month. Her weight problem mystified her until 2 years ago.
This is like my weight problem mystified me. Do you know what? Too much food, not enough exercise. That's the problem.
That's the answer.
That is it. I'm mystified by your stuffing Big Macs in. I'm mystified by this. I don't know what happens. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not enough exercise, too much food.
We know they keep on making up disorders. They diagnosed her with a sleep-related eating disorder, which causes her to walk to the kitchen and eat while sound asleep.
No, that's nonsense. That's got to be a lie, that is. It's got to be.
That might be true.
She wakes up hungry, goes to the fridge, gorges herself, and then says, oh, did it in my sleep. Nonsense.
Yeah, look, in an unconscious state, she gorges on chocolate, cheese, meat and butter, and everything she can get her hands on.
Do you know, in fairness, unless, right, unless she's sleepwalking down to Tesco's. Somebody's putting that stuff in your house. And unless you are sleepwalking down to the supermarket, going round in your underwear, or in my case, absolutely stark naked, giving the girls a treat, then no, that's not a good enough story.
I've tried everything to stop me getting my hands on food, but nothing works. How about a chain round the fridge? Anna first started putting on weight in her early 20s. The mystery was only uncovered when one morning she woke to find food in the bed and mess in the kitchen. There was broken biscuits in the sheets and all over my face, she recalls.
Funny enough, have you ever sleepwalk? Has anyone in this room ever sleepwalked?
Yes, walked out of the house absolutely stark naked on more than one occasion.
Seriously.
Walked out of the house absolutely stark naked than one occasion. Had to sleep in the caravan.
Was that involving alcohol or was that just sleep?
Yeah,
well, you could probably pretty much pass that off as alcohol or you was drunk.
Yeah.
You walked out of the house naked and just can't really remember it.
Yeah.
But I'm on about proper sleepwalking.
No.
No?
Never. I've got a friend.
What's wrong with my story?
Well, you was drunk.
It's obscene and dirty.
Asleep.
You scared the neighbours.
I'll tell you something. There's nothing worse than you have that moment. You wake up very cold and he's slammed behind you. Oh, man, it's like 2 a.m. How am I going to put this right?
Yeah, man, I've woke up all over the place naked and not remembering what happened the night before, but that's just drink. That's not a proper medical disorder. You couldn't call that sleepwalkitis.
That is the downside of being a werewolf.
What is the actual medical term for a sleepwalker?
Oh, no, they're giving her sleep-related eating disorder. Oh, I think they just made that up on the spot.
Sleep snacknia, that's what that is.
So that's SRED. So you would suffer, Jim, with SRDD.
What's that?
Sleep-related drinking disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm a victim of this disorder. Oh, I like it. I'm a victim of this disorder. Can I get disability living allowance?
True, yeah. If you can.
Hang on.
That's genius. You've just hit on a new disorder.
My whole life I've wanted this to be considered a real disability.
I've suffered in pain on my own for so long. Now, does anyone here talk in the sleep?
I've been known to talk in my sleep.
You know, I'll laugh in my sleep really loud. And swear.
My mate argues with someone next to him who's not there and swears in a fully blown argument in his sleep. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that.
I will talk in my sleep, apparently. But there is, you know, I don't know if you're engaged in this kind of nonsense that I engage in on a regular basis, but to sort of pretend you're asleep on the sofa, possibly after you've had a few drinks, and to pretend you're asleep on the sofa, and when the pastry lovely starts to question me because she thinks I won't remember, and
that's something women do, isn't it? You know, in that semi, you're not quite asleep, but you're not quite awake either. You're halfway in between.
Well, yeah,
that semi, and apparently that's when people can get the truth out of you, isn't it?
Well, so they think, but if you can feign that condition.
Yeah. All the secrets are coming out.
Right, but if you can find that condition and then start to confess to all kinds of nutty stuff, and then the following morning, no, that's not true. Okay, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it. And you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say his name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death a thousand times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.